Anna Wilcox. Thank you to Eric Leuschner for editing this piece. Thank you for being with us, and happy Women's History Month.
Ooh, child, things will be brighter.
Listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Tune in to KBOO for our International Women's Day special. Oh, our International Women's Weekend Marathon. One day is not enough.
It's this weekend.
We're kicking things off early Saturday morning, and we won't stop until Monday. Tune in for thoughtful discussion in English and Spanish, coverage of the issues that trans and incarcerated women are facing, and celebrations of women in music. That's KBOO's International Women's Weekend on your community connection, KBOO Portland.
Good afternoon. You're listening to a special episode of Transpositive on International Women's Day, a full day of KBOO programming dedicated to women. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns.
My name's G, and I use they, them pronouns.
My name is Jean, and I continue to use she and her pronouns in spite of some things that say I shouldn't.
My name is Sheila, and I use she and her pronouns preferably, but I've learned through the years to accept whatever comes my way.
Great. Well, thanks, everyone, and welcome to our half hour. Today, we're going to be talking about International Women's Day, and so I'd like to offer G an opportunity to start our show.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much, Emma. I just want to say, first off, happy International Women's Day. It's really exciting to be here with y'all, Transpositive, and sharing more about the incredible contributions that trans women have made to the women's movement, to LGBTQ plus movements, and just generally to the world. When I was reflecting around the prompt, I was thinking, you know, about how often we speak about trans women in the past tense, and that there is a lot of grief in our community, and we need to shed light on that. And I also know that there is so much joy, there's so much radiance and so much brilliance, and I wanted to bring that to the fore today and present trans women who are contributing to society right now and celebrating them. And just the caveat, I did sprinkle in a few trans women who are now ancestors because they are the people who allowed, or I'll speak for myself, me to be who I am today. So I always start off when I'm talking about incredible trans women, the duo from my home state and city of New York, Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson, who founded STAR, or Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries. Both of them were known as integral to the Stonewall riots and the protest days after the riots began. And Rivera and Johnson took in other trans women under their wings and offered them shelter, food, and clothing. And I like to think that their warmth and ferocity are still influencing modern activists and trans folks to this day. A contemporary of Johnson and Rivera is Miss Major Griffin Gracie. She passed away in 2025. Miss Major was an American author, an activist, and a community organizer for trans rights. She served as the first executive director for the Transgender Gender Variant Intersex Justice Project. She also contributed to oral history collections, including Captive Genders, Trans Embodiment, and the Prison Industrial Complex. The Stonewall Reader and the Stonewall Generation LGBT Elders on Sex Activism and Aging. And her memoir, Miss Major Speaks, Conversations with a Black Trans Revolutionary, was released by Verso Books in 2023. Okay, so we move on to Gwendolyn Smith, who is an American transgender woman who co-founded Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is a day to memorialize people. Hello?
We've had her on the show. She's one of our first guests.
Oh my gosh! Legendary! Amazing!
Oh, yes! And others, and we've been here for years.
Sure. So y'all know. Well, I mean, y'all will probably know this whole list, but that's really cool. Yeah. So I'll continue. You know, for folks out there who may not know what Transgender Day of Remembrance is, it's a day to memorialize trans people who have been killed as a result of transphobia. And Smith began Transgender Day of Remembrance in November of 1999 to honor Rita Hester, a trans woman who was murdered in 1998. Transgender Day of Remembrance takes place each year on November 20th. And going in a little bit of a different direction, I wanted to make sure that I captured sort of the breadth of folks and the diversity and richness of our community. So Christina Kempf is a Cheyenne trans woman who founded the National Gay Prisoners Coalition. She called for an investigation of prisons in the U.S. regarding how gay and trans prisoners were treated. She also called for the abolition of laws against consensual gay sex. In addition, she published open letters in several LGBTQ plus newspapers and raised money for trans prisoners' gender-affirming treatment and legal fees. She was eventually released from prison in 1973 and then had her own gender-affirming treatments and journey. Another incredible person was Cecilia Chung, who immigrated to the United States with her family in 1984 from Hong Kong. And yeah, there you go. I like hearing all this. This is great. I had to do some of my homework here, so I was learning a lot, and it was really cool to find out that she's done a lot of groundbreaking work throughout her life to advocate for trans folks and those living with HIV and people living at that intersection. In 2015, she founded Positively Trans, a national network to support trans people, particularly trans people of color living with HIV. And she advocated for and continues to advocate for community members to involve themselves in policy lobbying, storytelling, and developing folks' leadership skills. This is someone who I'm also totally stoked to talk about. Kaylee Whalen, I wanted to focus on trans women in sports. I'm also biased. I love roller derby, and Kaylee Whalen is a skater under the name Lenore Gore, who was drafted into the DC Roller Girls team Scare Force One. She was closeted for years, and then she joined a movement to establish a more inclusive derby policy. And she even published a piece under an alias in Kate Bornstein's Gender Outlaws, The Next Generation. Outside of derby, she does really cool stuff. So she's worked on making the Michigan Women's Music Festival more trans-inclusive, so this is something that she's worked on. And she's also a digital consultant with the group Sins Invalid on their 2020 digital performance, which is pretty neat. Our next woman provided hundreds of thousands of military and diplomatic records about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan to WikiLeaks in 2010. And yes, I am talking about Chelsea Manning.
Yay, Chelsea. Yay.
Yes, her actions are regarded as the largest leak of classified records in U.S. history. And now as a freed activist, she continues to protest American imperialism and militarization. Woo!
I would like to add a particular name or two. Number one, going back in, way back into the 20th century, Lynn Conway, as someone who has never been really publicized or acknowledged, but was a significant player in the development of an awful lot of technological stuff, in Silicon Valley, was a trans woman. And then more recently, I want to celebrate Sarah McBride. I want to celebrate, Congresswoman Sarah McBride. Incredibly articulate, wonderfully intelligent. What a wonderful representative for us as trans women. But I also want to point out, due respect, G, that an awful lot of the women that you have pointed out, I want to bridge us to the topic, which is, International Women's Day, and how do we as trans women support? How do we claim a sisterhood? And with that, I want to introduce my dear sister, and friend Sheila.
One of the things that, having heard of a list of so many names of trans women who have been able to make extraordinary contributions, what I wanted to do is focus on why there has been such a problem at different levels, both from feminists and particularly from outside both communities, that somehow trans women are not women. In other words, we have been defined oftentimes as not qualifying, and this would be all right, but sometimes there have been groups of gay men who have said, we don't want to be identified with the drag queens because we're trying to escape that idea that same-sex attraction always implies a femme persona in one or other of the partners. So a lot of trans experience has been one of exclusion. And oftentimes the people that make a war against the transgender community use nomenclature as the primary mode of attack. by disqualifying us with words. And so then when we get sucked into that battle, then we end up having to come up with phrases that will oppose that. And what we'll do is look for the most simple mathematical formula for inclusion by saying trans women are women, meaning that the more narrow category of women, those that are trans, are still included in the wider class of female persons. Where we have problems is that then we get involved in battles over nomenclature, whereas what we should be doing is fighting for our survival. One of the ways that we can tell about how a woman is treated in our society is look at the disproportion of spousal abuse, the disproportion of murders, the disproportion of reduction to sex as being the primary category, therefore sex work as being a normative way of survival for trans women. And one of the things that Lynn Conway brought out in her study of very successful trans women who had made a living for themselves apart from sex work was to get rid of the idea that our bodies can be fetishized by people who find us attractive precisely because we are trans women. And that is reductive in its very nature. So maybe one of the things we can talk about and think about is one of the ways that the world has defined women, particularly third world women, is as servants and as oppressed, or as having to veil their sexuality because they are seen as being a sexual threat to patriarchy per se, and that there's even a certain leftover religious taint at times that women are seen as a source of sinfulness and temptation that has to be controlled, similarly to shielding a radioactive reactor in a lead sheath to keep the spare electrons or neutrons from reaching out into the overall environment. So rather than be caught up on whether or not we are a certain set of terms, one of the things that we've done tonight so far is to point out that transgender women are oftentimes welcomed in by more inclusive genetic females. And this is a great honor, and we are not unappreciative of that honor. And I think that many women that are genetic females get tired of being reduced to their reproductive function as if that was their sole purpose in life. Not that it doesn't, that it's irrelevant. The human race would die out if procreativity did not exist, and you don't have that except for some sort of heterosexual exchange going on. So to be transgender does not necessarily mean that we're anti-reproduction or that we are going to refer to heterosexual people as breeders, which is a form of throwing the hand grenade back across the net. Which hopefully we will not feel obliged to do. If we are abused, we should not abuse in turn. So one of the things that I wanted to bring forth today is to say that although we celebrate International Women's Day, we're aware of the full diversity, socioeconomic and otherwise, of women in society around the world. And if we can play any part in that to resist oppression and to have them, meaning everyone who is not a trans woman, understand the things that we go through and our own marginalization, we are helpful and grateful that we can exchange gifts across the borders and say all women, however wide we can spread that globe to a level of inclusiveness, we want to be part of you, and we hope that you will see us as honored guests and not feel that we're trying to take over anything that is not ours.
Amen. And all I can say is this image in my mind of all of us sisters linking arms, doesn't matter, because in the face of, we are not in a position of absolute strength. I mean, we've been fighting patriarchy, we've been fighting misogyny, and in the interest of feminist interests, for a century or more, let's all just link arms. It doesn't, let's just all link arms. Oh my God, we have to join together or die, be hung separately.
Thank you so much. Gia, I'd like to ask you if you had any other names you'd like to share as part of our kind of going around and taking turns in this conversation.
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to say that I really appreciated that, Sheila and Jean, both of you. I've always thought that, in terms of, and not to get off of, track here with my list, but, cis women and trans women might have sometimes different issues, they also really converge many times. And I think it would be better if, people came together to see that and understand that. And I know right now in society, it's very divided on this. So I really appreciate both of your perspective and lending your experience to the conversation. I really appreciate it. And I just wanted to say that before I jump back in.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally. I just had a few literally, I think it's four folks. And there was someone I wanted to highlight. I'm from the East Coast, and so the trans folks that I was around are, I put them in this list because I was influenced by them directly. And one of those women is Pauline Park. She helped me to realize my own transness. And she's a pretty amazing human being. Her accolades, if you look at her webpage, spans many, many pages. I'll just share briefly, if y'all don't know who Pauline Park is, she's the chair of the New York Association for Gender Rights Advocacy. It's a statewide transgender advocacy org that she co-founded in 1998. She's also president of the board of directors of Queens Pride House, which she co-founded in 1997, and that's exactly where I met her. She, like I said, has a long list of accomplishments. But she has a history, too, of discussing the intersection of her transness and Korean identity, which I think is really beautiful and important to weave that into the fabric of the depth and breadth of all of the folks in our community. And someone who I also got to know very briefly was Cecilia Gentile, who passed away in 2024. She identifies herself as an American advocate for the rights of trans people and sex workers. She eventually made her way to New York, and that's her home. She held different leadership positions, one at the Gay Men's Health Crisis and another called IPESHA. But what was really awesome, and I found this out by going there myself, but she co-founded a free clinic for sex workers at the Callen Lord Community Health Center. The Callen Lord Community Health Center has multiple locations serving LGBTQ plus people in New York City, and most of their services are free and also confidential. So she was a part of co-founding that free clinic for sex workers, which is amazing. And she also was a part of lobbying to repeal this walking while trans law. So that was a law in New York that was created to be used as sort of anti-loitering law, but it was used to arrest trans women by the police who they suspected or assumed to be sex workers. And she went out in the most amazing way. She had a funeral held at St. Patrick Cathedral's church, and many of her queer grandchildren were wearing red and there to celebrate her life. And I think, you know, when I think about her, I just think of all the zest and joy. I mean, it wasn't easy for her, but she always had so much so much to give and so much life in her. And she's a really powerful figure in the trans community and queer community in New York.
Hun, you know, the topic for this conversation, this specific conversation, is where do we fit logically and supportively into International Women's Day? And, you know, this is a much huger, broader context. And while I appreciate the things that you pointed out, you know, in the context of, you know, of a trans, you know, reality, you know, it's like, it's not bridging in my mind to the broader reality of where are women, you know, how do we fit into Women's Day? And it's not acknowledging the broader context that we are a subset of a much broader set of considerations. And I'm just going to say that. But it's like, where does that fit? That's a broader, deeper, contextual,
philosophical, that makes sense.
Intellectual context. And I'm not hearing that.
Yeah, I understand you're not hearing it, Jean, but I am hearing it. I mean, I think that trans women or women, and G found a really great, many great examples of trans women who have done amazing work who are women. So okay, that's how it fits in.
Yeah, and I know that.
I'd like to add a couple of other names to the mix tonight. One of them is Alicia Brevard, and Alicia was an early trans actress who was not identified as trans and actually made mainstream films during her career, and she used to be a pen pal of mine. And I'd like to talk about April Ashley, who was an early model and one of the first trans women to be married in England. Unfortunately, the marriage was annulled later on in a famous English court case because it was said that a man cannot marry a man at the time, and her transgender status and her post-op status was held to be irrelevant. Then I never like to miss Candy Darling and the early Warhol actresses, yes. Holly Woodlawn and Jackie Curtis, who
Candy
although
Darling.
They were
fabulous,
they may have been transitional figures in the widest possible sense. Candy, at least, clearly identified as a full-time trans woman, and
totally.
Also I'd like to mention Carolyn Cossey, who is the first trans woman to
yes.
be one of the Bond girls.
Yeah.
And she went by the name Tula also.
Yep.
And so one of the things that we've established tonight is that we have a great variety, and that trans women have emerged out of the mists of time at different stages of transgender acceptance. Some had to be closeted for their entire life. Some were very attractive and met all the criteria of what we would call visual femininity. Others just simply wanted to be accepted as in Lynn Conway's case, who is also both attractive and competent as a fully functioning member of professional society. And certainly we have begun to emerge as political figures unapologetically in the public domain, even though when we have done so, the effort to reestablish our invisibility by referring to our either dead names or dead sexuality, the one that we do not identify with, has become a classic example of making something become invisible by simply reducing it to abusive epithets. That's not an argument. And that's what we shows the degree of resistance to our existence, shows how important it is that we recognize transgender women on Transgendered Remembrance Day, on Transgender Visibility Day, and also as International Women's Day.
Well, that is a great ending. I think we're going to close it there because we are out of time. You've been listening to Transpositive here on International Women's Day. And I would just like to thank G, Jean, and Sheila for joining us. And stay tuned for more great programming today here on KBOO. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Bedroom surprise. They call it climbing, and I call it visibility. They call it fullness, and I call it visibility. They call it way too rowdy, I call it finally free.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through our public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.